From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You have seen the arch of heaven as it spans the plain. Glorious are its colors, and rare its hues. It is beautiful, but alas, it passes away, and lo, it is not. The fair colors give way to the fleecy clouds, and the sky is no longer brilliant with the tints of heaven. It is not established. How can it be? A glorious show made up of transitory sunbeams and passing raindrops? How can it abide? The graces of the Christian character must not resemble the rainbow in its transitory beauty, but on the contrary, must be established, settled, abiding. Seek, O believer, that every good thing you have may be an abiding thing. May your character not be a writing upon the sand, but an inscription upon the rock. May your faith be no baseless fabric of a vision, but may it be builded of material able to endure that awful fire which shall consume the wood, hay, and stubble of the hypocrite. May you be rooted and grounded in love. May your convictions be deep, your love real, your desires earnest. May your whole life be so settled and established that all the blasts of hell and all the storms of earth shall never be able to remove you. But notice how this blessing of being established in the faith is gained. The apostle's words point us to suffering as the means employed. After that ye have suffered a while. It is of no use to hope that we shall be well rooted if no rough winds pass over us. Those old gnarlings on the root of the oak tree and those strange twistings of the branches all tell of the many storms that have swept over it, and they are also indicators of the depth into which the roots have forced their way. So the Christian is made strong and firmly rooted by all the trials and storms of life. Shrink not, then, from the tempestuous winds of trial, but take comfort, believing that by their rough discipline, God is fulfilling this benediction to you.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans as he brings the next portion of a message called Saving Faith and the Free Offer of the Gospel, an exposition of chapter 10 of the epistle. The Apostle Paul commenced the chapter with an expression of his heartfelt desire for the people of Israel to be saved. Although Israel was God's chosen people to whom the Old Testament scriptures were given and through whom the Messiah came into the world, they placed their hope of heaven upon their relationship to Abraham. As Paul emphasizes, this was a vain hope, for salvation is not by works or by ancestry, but by faith in Christ. God will not accept some mixture of works and faith. As the Reformers declared, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Sinners must deal with the person, the work, and the words of Christ. Now, Dr. Cairns continues this message, Saving Faith and the Free Offer of the Gospel.
What is the purpose of the law? It's to drive men to Christ for their righteousness to be received through faith alone. And this is the only proper way of understanding God's law. Anything else, says Paul, is a perversion of it. Second, in verse 5, he makes it clear that works righteousness makes a man liable to the full rigor of the law. Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, he's saying, according to the law, if you want to establish your own works righteousness, and remember Paul is writing to Jews who would not submit to the righteousness of God in Christ. They would not accept justification by grace through faith alone. They believed that there had to be at least a mixture of their own merit and their own work. And Paul is saying, listen to the law that you say you're trying to obey. And if you're trying to get to heaven by keeping the law, listen to what it says. You expose yourself to the full vigor of the law. It demands perfect obedience. As James says, if you keep the whole law yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. You're a lawbreaker. As Paul told the Galatians, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every man that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So you can't be saved by works, because that would open you to the full rigor of God's law. And if you've ever broken one commandment, if you've ever come one little bit short of absolute perfection in one area of the law of God, then the law of God condemns you utterly. You are a lawbreaker. You see, God is not just relatively holy and relatively righteous. God is absolutely holy. God is absolutely righteous. And anything short of His perfection is filthiness, depravity, and sin. Now understand this. When you get that into your heart and into your mind, you will see that salvation, justification by our attempts to keep the law can never, never be. Because going that way, we damn our souls as lawbreakers. In verses 6 and 7, there's a third great point, and it is that works righteousness effectively denies the coming and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I must confess that these verses 6 and 7 are some of the most obscure, the most difficult in the entire book. If you read all the experts, theologians, linguists, commentators, they have as many opinions as they have hairs in their head, apparently. They come, of course, that would leave some of us with very few opinions, would it not? But we'd not get into that one. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh in this wise. Say not in mine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. There are many, many views of this. Was Paul quoting Moses from Deuteronomy 30, or was he simply using his words? I'm going to cut through it all rather quickly, because I don't think the answer is absolutely essential to getting to the heart of the message. I believe that Paul is saying, if you understand Moses aright, he not only said, this is the righteousness which is of the law, but in this passage he says, this is the righteousness which is of faith. This is the word of faith. You see, Moses did preach the gospel. Moses did preach the very same way of life that Paul preached. Now, Paul quotes him, and he doesn't quote him exactly, but he quotes him for his own purpose here. Say not in my heart. Why, that's simply saying a Hebraism for having a secret thought. I think there's good biblical evidence to say that when there's this reference to saying something in the heart, it very often refers to something unworthy that you really would be ashamed to come out and say boldly with your lips. The fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. Not every fool is a blatant atheist coming out and trumpeting it, but the same folly is there, even if he's ashamed to say it, but he has it in his heart. So here, say not in my heart, who shall ascend up into heaven? Now Paul adds his own little bit to explain that. That is, to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? The word here is the abyss. That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. Now, what does that mean? Some of them say, well, that is means this is equivalent of saying. Others say, no, it means in order to bring up Christ from the dead. Let's look at it. I believe Paul is saying here, whatever you do, however you frame it, if you are saying you're going to be saved by your own works, one thing you've got to come to terms with, you are denying both the coming and the mission and the accomplishment of Christ. I think that's absolutely clear. If you're going to be saved by your own works, it's like climbing your own way to heaven. But why are you doing that? To bring down Christ? Why has he not already come? Are you denying the reality? Are you denying the sufficiency? Are you denying the accomplishment of his coming? It's like saying I'm going to plunge into the depths of the abyss to evacuate hell of its power. I'm going to gain eternal life. That's like raising up Christ again from the dead, as if in his dying and rising he had not accomplished our justification. What Paul is saying is this: listen, unbelief always pits itself against the person and work of Christ. And every person I've ever dealt with who is unwilling to believe whatever the professions of orthodoxy ultimately has always had some awful, awful problem with the sufficiency of the work of Christ. After all, if I'm convinced Christ is enough in his person, Christ is enough in his work, Christ is enough in his word, I can trust his person, I can trust his work, I can trust his word. If I'm convinced of that, then what is there to stop me closing with Christ except my own willful wickedness of heart? This is what Paul is saying. If you want to continue in unbelief, you must deal with Christ, for God has sent his Son. Christ has died. Christ has gone into the grave. Christ has risen again. And Christ has ascended. Those are the great truths of the gospel. And you must come to terms with them. It's as true of you and me tonight as it was ever true of those Jews. If you're in this meeting without Jesus Christ, you must deal with his person, with his work, with his finished work, with his accomplishment. You must deal with those things. I remember Dr. Paisley years ago in his evangelistic crusades used to preach a powerful message on blockades that God has raised on the road to hell. And he described some of the blockades that God places in the pathway of a sinner in his mad career as he dashes to destruction. He talked about the prayers of a godly mother. He talked about the preaching of a faithful church. He talked about these various things that God has placed to stop you in the road to hell. But the greatest obstacle to hell that God ever raised, and he preached this with power and with passion, was the cross of Jesus Christ. Remember, the way to heaven is via the cross. But for everyone who ever hears the gospel, the way to hell is also via the cross. There's no way around that. Works righteousness, this refusal to submit to the righteousness which is of God in Jesus Christ, faces the obstacle of the person and the work, the word, the invitation of Jesus Christ. And it's only by ignoring, dismissing, or rejecting those that you can ever perish. You see why I said a week or two back, you don't simply slip into hell. This is not accidental. If you perish after being in a church like this, if you perish after being in meetings such as this, it is because of a willful, wretched, selfish, stubborn refusal to submit to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And of course, in verses 6 and 7 again, Paul makes it clear that works righteousness always proposes a totally absurd and impossible way for a man to live and die and go out to meet God. You see, he's saying, do not say in your heart who'll ascend up into heaven or who'll descend into the great deep. As I say, he's quoting Moses from Deuteronomy 30. And this is interesting here for very many reasons. But On the surface, this is a Hebrew way of describing an impossibility. What Moses was saying to the people, and I'm going to draw your attention to something very particular here about the how Paul is dealing with this free offer of the gospel. But what Moses was saying is, look, I've given you the law. Here's the revelation of God. It's not remote. It's not difficult to understand. You don't have to go to heaven to find out what God wants you to do. In the original Hebrew of the Old Testament, he said, you don't have to cross the sea to find out what God wants you to do. The word is nigh you, it's even in your mouth. That you may do it. God has brought his word near to you in order that you may do it. You have the word and you can do it. That's what Paul, what Moses was saying. Now, I want you to understand, first of all, when Paul takes this over into Romans chapter 10, he's making precisely the same point. He's saying to you, if you try to be saved by your own works, it's like trying to say, I'm going to ascend to heaven. Can you do that? This is a word that connotes a great deal of physicality. It's like physically raising yourself up to heaven. Well, can you do that? Obviously not. So why are you talking about working your way to heaven? Why are you talking about any other righteousness than the righteousness of Christ? Why are you depending on your religion or your zeal or your works or anything? Why are you not on your face before God pleading for the merits of Christ? Why, says Paul? Because the way you're going, you may as well say, I'm going to will to be like Elijah and just rise into heaven. You can't do it. No matter how much you will to do it. No matter how much you work to do it, it's not going to happen. Can you plumb down into the depths? Can you go to the depths of the abyss? Can you go to the depths of the grave and of hell? Can you take on the powers of darkness? Can you defeat sin, Satan, hell? Can you defeat every power of darkness? Can you defeat death itself and rise a conqueror over the tomb? Can you, by your own efforts, ever get to where you can produce eternal life? Obviously not. It's impossible. But that's what you have to do in order to be saved. Somehow, you've got to be able to ascend to heaven. Somehow, by some method, sin, the grave, Satan, hell, death, they must all be defeated, and life must be brought forth. Now, you can't do that by yourself. That's the truth that Paul is teaching here. This is why God insists on faith in Christ, for he has done these things. He has accomplished these things. And therefore, he's insisting on faith in Christ because any other way is impossible.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.